in July. In Luke, we are in the book of Luke, going through the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 1, we're in Luke chapter 1 today, going to be starting in verse 18, reading through verse 25. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept to herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Excuse me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for giving us illustrations, Lord, of reactions to situations that are different. Father, I pray that you would guide us, that you would show us, Lord, what you have for us. Because, Father, we trust you, and we love you, and we thank you that you are in control, that you have thought of us a long, long time ago. Lord God, you have given us your Son. And Father, we're so grateful because there's nothing in us that could merit salvation, nothing that could gain salvation, but you, Lord God, have accomplished it for us. We love you and we praise you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Luke was the only Gentile to write one of the books of the Bible, one of the Gospels. He wrote this somewhere around 60-61 AD. He wrote it for the purpose of clarifying some details. Luke was a very detailed person. He was a physician, very smart. And he wanted to detail the life of Christ in such a way to show that he was the perfect human, that he was the perfect man. Each gospel writer comes at the life of Christ in a different direction, and Luke comes at it from the direction of being the perfect man. What we've looked at so far is Zacharias and Elizabeth, the fact that they were righteous in the sight of God, the fact that they had trusted in God, they had believed what God had given, because God had said they are righteous in his sight. They were righteous, blameless, having faith and trusting him. But God works in his time. He works out the details, and we can trust God. What has happened is that the angel of God, Gabriel, has come, and he has delivered a message to Zacharias, saying that he would have a child, he would have a son. And this son was very important son, because he was going to be a forerunner according to verse 17, in the spirit and power of Elijah. So he was going to be preparing the people for something. And Zacharias is amazed at this. So what we're going to look at today is four reactions. We're going to look at Zacharias' reaction to the message. We're going to look at Gabriel's reaction to Zacharias. We're going to look at the people's reaction to Zacharias, and we're also going to look at Elizabeth's reaction to the message. So as we go through this, we're going to be seeing how people reacted to this. First one we look at, verse 18, and 19 is Zacharias. I'm sorry, verse 18 is Zacharias. Now remember what has just happened, okay? Zacharias was in the temple. He was the one that was chosen by Lot to present incense before God. Happened daily, but this was the only time in his life this would happen. Once you were chosen, if you were ever chosen, this was a great privilege, and this was happened. He would go in by himself with the incense, put it on the altar, and leave, and then go out and present the benediction, say a benediction on the steps. That was the custom. That was what happened every day in the temple. And whoever was there would wait on the outside, and when he poured the incense on the altar, they would see the smoke rise, and it would fill the temple with that incense. And he would come out and he would pronounce that benediction. So Zacharias was there. He was in there. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Apparently he had put the incense on the altar. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel of the Lord gave him some good news. So that's the shock going on. So Zacharias, look at his reaction to it. Which we already saw his reaction back in verse 13 or 12. Zacharias was troubled when he saw him. Fear gripped him. All right, so he had initially he had a fearful reaction. But the good news was given in verse 13 on, and he said, "Do not fear, I'm going to give you some good news." But his reaction here, look what he says. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." So the first thing Zacharias does is, there's a problem. I'm old. My wife is old. We're probably not going to have this baby. All right? So there was the doubt. So the first thing he did was present doubt. Now, is that wrong? Because I know we're not going to look ahead too far, but we got Mary. And we'll look at that next week. Mary is approached by Gabriel. She says, in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" She presented the problem there. So Zacharias is presenting the problem. I'm too old. My wife's too old. This isn't going to be possible. Mary presented a problem. Hey, how can this be? I'm a virgin. But Zacharias asked for one extra thing. Did you see that at the beginning of the verse? He said, "How will I know this for certain? How will I know this for certain?" Zacharias was righteous before God, but he was not perfect in his actions. Zacharias was doubting here. In fact, Zacharias did not believe what the angel had said. Why? Because it was impossible. He was old. His wife was old. And we see this because if you look at that at the beginning of verse 18, it says, "How will I know this for certain?" In the original language, in the Greek, that's in the middle voice. What he's saying is, how am I going to make sure this happens? What are you going to show me that I can know in my heart so I will know that this is true? In other words, he's taking the emphasis off what Gabriel had said and putting it onto himself. What are you going to do to make me know this? Because I need to know this for certain. All right? So he had taken the emphasis off the message and put it back on himself. It was unbelief. As we see that, we'll see that down in verse, 20, where it says, "You did not believe my words." You did not believe my words. So basically it was unbelief. It wasn't unbelief to the point of Zacharias losing his righteousness. He didn't lose his righteousness. He was still righteous before God. He had trusted in God. But it was unbelief in what the angel had said. He included a sign or a demand for a sign. And by the way, he wasn't wanting a negative sign. He was just wanting a sign that he could see. Now think about this for a minute. All right? He was chosen by Lot, which didn't happen for all the priests. He was chosen to go in and offer the incense. An angel, obviously an angel, appeared before him. Sounds like a good sign to me. It was a sign. Right? He appeared before him. He said, his prayers were going to be answered. What he had hoped for all of his life was going to be answered. That's a pretty good sign. So all of these positive things that happened, all of these things that he could not have put together by himself had happened. And the first thing he says is, hey, I need a sign for me. I need that sign for me. It was, unbelief was the problem. Remember when, and you know, we do this too, but remember it with Peter. When Peter was in prison, the angel came and got him out, and he went to the house of the disciples that were praying for him right then. Knocked on the door, and the slave girl came down and said, who is it? And he said, I'm Peter. And she ran up and said, it's Peter at the door. Yeah, right. Yeah, we're just praying for him. There's no way, it's just his spirit or something. It's his spirit. Think about that. His spirit came and knocked on the door. Okay, that's a good explanation. Think about it. They had that right there. They had it in their sense. They heard the knock, all of that. And yet, they couldn't even believe it. Happens to us too. Zechariah says, no, I need a sign. I need something great. So the righteous, those who are declared righteous, like Zacharias, believers, we can still show unbelief and doubt. But it doesn't change our identity. It doesn't change who we are in Christ. Look at Zacharias' reaction. I'm sorry, Gabriel's reaction. Verse 19, because this is good. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. You know what that is? That's an extremely emphatic statement in the original language. That's like saying, what is your problem? I mean, what would we say today to be very emphatic? Somebody came and said, are you really, you know, whatever. Are you really the preacher there? No, that's silly. Are you, I don't know, something goofy. Are you really a person? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's close. That's close. But this is even goofier. You hear this angel is right. Are you really alive? Duh. What do you mean, am I alive? Look at me. All right. So this was Gabriel. It's very emphatic. In the original language, it's very emphatic. I am Gabriel. You want to know what's going on here? You want to know what I am? You want to know where I am? I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who stands. And the word stands, it's in the perfect tense. To stand near or to stand in front of. The presence of God. I'm Gabriel. I stand perfectly, completely, totally in the presence of God. Are you not catching this? What I'm saying is true. I stand for God. I stand in the presence of God. I am there, right there with God. Look what he says. And I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. I have been sent. The word is apostoleo. Apostoleo. We get our word apostle. Someone who is sent. Someone who is sent with a message. It says, I have been sent to teach or to speak to you this, bring you this good news. The word good news comes from the word euangelion. It's euangelizo. And it's in the Gospels themselves. It's used 10 times. 9 of them are in this book right here. It's a very important word to Luke because it means the exciting news, the greatest news there is, the good news. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Here, he's talking about the answer to his prayer, that John would come, his own son. But he's talking about something greater, because that good news of him having a son goes even beyond that to John being a forerunner of Jesus Christ. So Gabriel here was giving him a message of the greatest news there was. And Gabriel, it's almost, and I don't know if you can say an angel would be surprised, but it's almost like that. Because Gabriel says, are you kidding me? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I came here. I was sent like an apostle just to give you this good news. So his react. This was Gabriel's reaction. So since you want a sign, look at verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 20. And behold, and that word behold is another very emphatic thing. It says it means to wake up. Now, wake up to this, okay? Literally, it means wake up to this. Catch this. Now, behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. It says, catch this. You will be silent and unable to speak. This is an example of chastisement here. An example of a rebuke and chastisement. Doesn't mean that he's lost his salvation. Doesn't mean he's lost his righteousness. Doesn't mean he's less righteous. He is seen as righteous before God. Not before man, before God. He makes mistakes. Zacharias does. And here's a chastisement. What's the chastisement? You want this? I'll give it to you. You will be silent, unable to speak. Those are two meaning the same, kind of the same thing. Silent means it means silent. Unable to speak is not having power to speak. No power. Not dunamis. Not that explosive power, that energy, that power to speak. Be careful what you pray for. This was Zacharias. His prayer, his asking, his petition. Show me something. Make something happen so I'm going to know it. Okay. You're not going to be able to speak. You're not going to be able to talk. What is it that Zacharias probably wanted to do so much? He wanted to come out and tell everybody what happened. Look, he said, I'm going to have a baby. He said, I'm going to be a dad. This is an angel in there that was telling me. He comes out, he can't say a word. And it's amazing how he does this too. He sets the time. He says, you're not going to be able to speak until the day when these things take place. Until it happens. Until you can see this happen. These things take place. The way this is worded, the words take place, the way it's worded is, it's worded in a very rebuking way, because it's scenarios, which means it's going to happen. This is a one-time event. It's going to happen, but it's in the middle voice. So basically, until these things take place in you, until you get your sign, they take place in you. And then also it's a subjunctive, which means it's a possibility or a probability. So what Gabriel says is, look, you want to doubt? You want to not believe what I'm saying here? You're going to be silent. You're not going to have any power to speak until all of these take place in you, just like you asked, maybe. Until all of these things might come about that you think might happen. You see how he took it and he just pulled it right around on him. He said, you want to doubt it. You want to think it might or could happen, but probably won't. Guess what? Okay, you're not going to be able to talk until it does in you, to you, till it happens to you, maybe. But this was his acknowledgement of it. This was his chastisement in it. Because he wanted Zacharias to learn something through it. And you know what? He did. Zacharias learned something through this. What does it say at the end here? Because, here's why, you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. The reason that this happened was disbelief. I want you to see here, he was not condemned. He was rebuked. He was chastised. He was not condemned. And in fact, it was an act of love. Why was it an act of love? You know what happened when Zacharias could talk again? First thing out of his mouth, praise God. Praise to God. That unbelief, that was set aside. It was set aside because Zacharias saw that God said could be. It happened. His wife had a baby. All of this happened. said, well, we're going to name him this. He wrote down under, no, you're not. You're going to name him John. That's what the Gabriel said. You're going to name him John. And then he could talk, and then he could praise God. He learned that lesson, all right? So rebuke, the chastisement happened. Did it happen to break him down? No. It happened to build in faith, to build in trust, to build in an acknowledgement of who God is. And it worked. Zacharias praised God at the end of that. He praised him at the end of that. First thing that he said, all of this will be fulfilled. God can and will do what he says he will do. And by the way, where it says all this will be fulfilled at the end of the verse, which will be fulfilled in their proper time, that will be fulfilled is in the passive voice, not the middle voice. It's not talking about Zacharias fulfilling anything. It's in the passive voice. What God says will happen without our help. God will do that. And he used Zacharias in it, but it was still God's work. It was God's word. It was his work. That right there, folks, is why we can trust God. When he says, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. And the first thing we say when we get in trouble is, God, where are you? God, why? And isn't that the first thing that comes out? God, what's going on? Where are you? Where are you? Well, how come you're not? I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. And that's in the Greek, not the English. In the English, it says, I will never leave you. Okay? Because in the Greek, when it says two nevers or three nevers, it's twice as never or it's three times as never. It's not, they don't negate each other out. English is weird, all right? Greek makes sense. Say two nevers, that means it's never, never going to happen. Doesn't mean it's never not going to happen or something. But anyway, that's what God says. And that's what he says about us. Can we trust him? Zacharias was righteous. Zacharias believed God. Zacharias knew God. Zacharias said, hey, give me a sign. Hey, I can't believe what you're saying here because it doesn't make sense to me. He messed up just like we can mess up, folks. And he asked for something he might not should have asked for. Did you ever get into a pickle, into a problem and ask for something? Dumb. Like patience. Lord, give me patience. That is the dumbest thing to pray. And I don't mean that wrong. Yes, I do. It's a terrible thing to pray. It really is. You ask for patience, what do you get? 10 kids? You get a car that doesn't work? What do you get? You get a negative. See, we want to ask God for something to, you know, a growth thing, but we don't want the negative thing. So I think that's what Zacharias, he said, look, just give me a sign. He didn't want a negative sign. He didn't want to not be able to talk because he would have gone back. Well, we'll learn that. He would have gone back to his province and not been able to be a priest. Not been able to speak. Not been able to perform his service. He didn't want that. That wasn't what he was after. He just wanted God to do some lightning thing or something, you know. Something where he could see something work. And he did. He did. He made a baby through him, even though he was old. But that wasn't the sign he was looking for. Keep going. Verse 21. This is the reaction of the people. And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. The people were waiting. And what happened every morning is that the priest would go in, he would put the incense on, and he would turn around and he would come back out. He wouldn't wait in there. It was dangerous to wait in there. Back in Leviticus, I believe it's Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. Sons of Aaron, his sons went in there. And they did something wrong. And they were killed instantly. They died. The people standing out were wondering. They were standing with amazement saying, you know what? Zacharias was a really good guy. He's been in there too long. There's a problem. He may be dead. There's a real issue going on. They had that in their background. So they were standing in amazement. They were wondering at this. This long wait meant that there was probably a problem. He should have come back out and pronounced the benediction on the steps. And by the way, this isn't all of Israel, okay? This happened every day. So only the people that came to the temple that day would have been standing outside of the temple. Only the people that brought their sacrifices that day. This wasn't like the once a year sacrifice in the Holy of Holies. This was an everyday occurrence. But there were still several people there. There were still a lot of people there were wondering what was going on at the delay. When he came out, he couldn't speak. The angel was right. Verse 22. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them. They realized, or they had the perception, they understood. The word is understood, to understand upon something. They understood upon his actions and what was going on that he had seen something. And the word "had seen" is in the perfect tense. He had completely, totally seen something, and he could not communicate it. He tried. He was doing all sorts of things, but he had seen a vision. And the word "vision" in the original language means supernatural vision, literally. They understood that what he had seen was supernatural. It wasn't just ordinary. They recognized that. He came out, and he was presenting signs to them and everything else. So he remained mute. Let's go on to verse 24. Talks about Elizabeth's reaction. After these days, Elizabeth's wife became pregnant. And she kept to herself, she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." She became pregnant. Surprise! She became pregnant. This is Elizabeth's reaction to the good news here. She became pregnant. And the word "became pregnant," or "conceived and became pregnant," in this day, in this writing, was a medical term. This was a medical term that Luke used. So she became pregnant, even though she was old, and she hid herself. Literally, the word is to hide herself. And she did that because if she would have gone out and said, "Look, I'm pregnant." Yeah, right. "You haven't been pregnant all of your married life. You have been barren. You have been cursed of God for some reason. You," and remember, and it even says that at the end in verse 25. When he says, "He looked upon with favor upon me to take away" what? "My disgrace among men." My disgrace. She was looked down upon because she did not have a child. And she was excited. So you know what her reaction was to this good news? You know what her reaction to this pregnancy was? Praise. Praise. She went in seclusion for 5 months. And at the end of that, it would have been very apparent. "Yes, you are pregnant. Yes, you're showing you're pregnant." That's when she came out. And she came out to show everyone that the Lord has dealt with her. The Lord has put favor on her. The Lord has done it. You see how she points it back to the Lord. So her reaction isn't "give me a sign." Her reaction is, "I got a sign." Her reaction is, "God's favorable. Because I've been disgraced for so long, because of the disgrace that's been put upon me." Even though she was seen as righteous before God, even though she was seen as blameless before God, people still put that disgrace on her. How the world saw her wasn't how God saw her. Do you realize that a lot of times we get our disgrace, our reproach, we get what is said about us by others, and we kind of tend to apply that. But what God says about you is, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son." What God says about you, Jesus Christ, when he's praying in the garden, the real Lord's Prayer in John 17, he prays for his disciples and those who will follow him. Us. He's praying for us. God loves you. God loves you. That's what we have from God. So is there possibly rebuke in that? Is there possibly chastisement? There was for Zacharias. And what was his reaction to it? Praise God because of what he has done. God doesn't allow bad things to happen to us to break us down. God allows it for our growth and for the growth of those around us. God loves you. That is the self-worth that we have from God. Others can put us down. Others can spit us out. Others can say whatever they need to say, whatever they want. And that is not what we go by. We go by what God says. And God says that we are His creation, His children, and He loves us. But be careful what you expect from God. Be careful what you pray for from God. Be careful demanding proof from God, because He can give it. And He's just a whole lot wiser than we are. But in the midst of a bad situation, remember who you belong to. Because Zacharias, he couldn't communicate. He couldn't do his business. He couldn't be a priest. He couldn't do his service. But at the end of all that, when he could again, the first thing he did was praise God. He didn't look back and say, "Oh, well, God, you really blew it. I could have had the last 9 months. I could have been spreading your message." No, he looked back with praise. God does answer prayer. It may not be my answer. It may not be in my time. But He does answer prayer. And we can trust Him. We can trust His word. You notice here that God's using common, regular, doubting people to accomplish the greatest story in history. He's using common, regular, doubting people. Folks, He can use us. He can use you and me. Is He powerful enough? Is He loving enough? Does He love us enough? Is He trustworthy enough? Is He truthful enough? Trust Him. Even if you fall into doubt, He can prove Himself to you. Don't force Him to. Trust Him. Folks, if you have never trusted in Christ, know this. You can have a relationship with Him right now. Salvation. You can have it. He wants you to have it. He says, "Come to me as a little child." Simply trusting. Simple trust. If you have trusted in Him, keep trusting. In the midst of the situation where you don't understand it, in the midst of a situation where you are seeing that there's sin all around, that there's ungodliness all around, keep trusting. Keep trusting in Him. Zacharias was in the middle of a religious system that was put down by Christ. And yet he was trusting God. And then when he doubted, yeah, he had a circumstance happen, but you know, through that circumstance that happened, he became one that didn't doubt. He became one that praised God. Elizabeth, she saw it, she trusted. So there's different reactions that we can have, and different reactions that those around us can have. But know this, you can trust what God says. God says it, it will be. It will happen. And He has shown us in His word how we can trust Him. Let's close in prayer.